come alive, come alive in my body. Dream, come alive.
Hey there, this is Molly, and you're listening to episode 47 of the Clean Food Dirty Girl podcast. Thank you for playing me today. Playing me? Playing this episode. Therefore, I guess you are playing me. So today I am sharing a talk with you that I had with a fabulous woman named Jamie, and she is in our community. And if you know anybody who suffers from lupus, or if you yourself have lupus, this would be a really good episode to share, because Jamie actually talks all about being diagnosed with lupus and what she did about it. And it's quite the story. So I'm going to talk a little bit more about that. But before I do that, I want to tell you that we have launched the Plant Fueled Life free trial. So Plant Fueled Life is our monthly membership. And when you sign up, you get automatic access to over, I think it's like 3,700 now, whole food plant-based recipes, and over 250 meal plans, and our magic meal planner, where you can create your own meal plan with our recipes. You get access to my weekly group coaching and a ton of video content as well that you only get in Plant Fueled Life. So it's a fabulous value. You get so much from it. And we launched it earlier this year, back in, I think, February, and we just launched last week the 10-day free trial for Plant Fueled Life. So when you sign up, you get access for 10 whole days, and you get to play around with the meal plans, play around with the recipes, watch my coaching videos, come to a live group coaching session of mine. I'm happy to coach you. So this is really exciting. And if you haven't experienced Plant Fueled Life yet and you're curious, then in the show notes, I will have a link to go to sign up for the trial. So be sure to do that. Okay, now let's talk about Jamie. And the thing I loved about talking with her is she was just so determined. Like, she came into this, her diagnosis, with such optimism and such determination to feel better and to get to the bottom of her symptoms. And she really went in there with this attitude, like, okay, I'm going through this and I'm going to take steps to make it better, you know, to heal myself. And she was very adamant about that, this, and that attitude that she had, I would say, and we didn't talk about this in the talk because actually I talked with her a few years back, and you're going to hear that the audio quality isn't as good as this intro or some of my other podcast episodes, but it was taken a while back and before I had a better audio setup. But I still wanted to share it because I think it's a really powerful talk, and I hear a lot of people who are really struggling with lupus with not much hope. And what this talk does is it gives you hope. If you are struggling with lupus or you know somebody who is struggling with lupus, you will get a lot from this talk. So I think it's really, really important to share, even though the quality isn't great. But we didn't talk about this, back to what I was saying, we didn't talk about this aspect of it during our talk, but I think, and I wasn't a life coach when I had this talk with her, and now when I'm listening back to all of these episodes through my life coach lens, it all makes sense to me. Like, God, no wonder she was really able to figure this out and to relieve herself of these symptoms, because she had this attitude of, nothing is going to stop me. I don't need my doctor to agree. I'm just going to figure this out and do what I think I need to do to feel better. And that attitude, that frame of mind, that mindset, those thoughts led directly to the actions that she took to then change her diet, change her lifestyle, and ultimately free herself of all of her lupus symptoms, so that now, she said during our talk, she sometimes forgets that she has it. And I bring this up because when you listen to this talk, what I was thinking of when I was listening to it was, you know, if she didn't have that attitude and she didn't have that kind of optimistic, I'm going to do this mentality, it would have been much harder for her to take the actions of doing that, right? And of changing and making these changes and really, you know, changing how she eats and changing her life. When we go into something with the thoughts and the beliefs and the attitude of like, well, I guess I'm screwed. I guess there's nothing I can do about it. I guess my doctor knows best. This sucks. You know, it's much harder to make empowered choices. So even if you are wanting to make powerful choices, but you're stuck in that mindset of that very pessimistic kind of down on yourself mindset, play around and see if you can turn some of those thoughts and mindsets around and will help you do the things that you might want to do to get a different result than you're getting now. I mean, it's up to you. You definitely can have whatever attitude you want, and there's no wrong or right attitude to have. And hey, sometimes it might be an attitude of complete optimism, and then the next day it might be the attitude of not feeling so great. But I think what's important is, you know, coming back to that attitude of I'm going to do what I can. I'm going to do what I can, you know, instead of just feeling like a victim and feeling like, well, fate's decided for me and now I'm fucked and that's all she wrote. So keep that in mind when you listen to this. That definitely stuck out in my mind as I was listening back. So see what you think. I'm really happy to share this with you. And if you or anyone you know has changed their diet and has been able to reverse some, you know, health issues that they've had, even if they're not following our meal plans in Plant Fueled Life, let me know. Email me at support@cleanfoodjourneygirl.com and reach out, because I like to share these stories. I don't think that we hear enough of them. And so I would love to share more stories like this if you or anyone you know have a similar story. Okay, here is Jamie and me talking about lupus. See you on the other side.
I am a school psychologist, and I have been eating mostly a vegetarian diet, vegetarian/vegan, for a couple of years. Mm-hmm. I was feeling fine up until, I guess, a year ago. I was having these episodes, and actually what's happened every year, once a year, and the episodes were, they diagnosed it as partial seizures. And they were not a regular seizure. It was very strange. I would have these memories that weren't really there. So I would kind of maybe almost remembering or seeing or hearing things that weren't there, but I was very aware it wasn't real. So I looked normal. I felt normal. I acted normal. So after four of these episodes a year apart, I went to the neurologist, and she wanted to run tests, a lot of tests on me. And one of them was a blood test, and it came out that I had some kind of autoimmune disease. It was elevated for an autoimmune disease, which I was very shocked about. She did an EEG, and she diagnosed me that I was having partial seizures and put me on medication. And during this time, she was going to rerun the blood work for after a few months to see what the results were going to be a few months later. And I'm just thinking, oh, it was a false positive. I'm going to be fine. Nothing's wrong with me. And 3 months later, it was the exact same results. So she sent me to a rheumatologist. At this point, I started having these weird pains. I was having pretty severe joint pain in my hands and my wrists. And there were days where I was, I could not even type or move my hands, so the pain was so bad. So I was really scared I had rheumatoid arthritis, just from researching what I was having, what I was feeling, and I was very, very scared. So my job as a school psychologist is typing reports and writing, and so I thought, oh my God, I'm never going to work again. I'm falling apart and I'm dying. So I immediately researched everything online, because I looked up diets and what I can do as far as healing myself. And between and at that point, I read about Dr. Ray Dougal, and I was reading about plant-based eating, and I kind of was doing that, but not very consistently. So I started doing that, and I went to the rheumatologist, and when I went to the rheumatologist, she said it was lupus. So that I was not expecting lupus. I was pretty shocked to hear that. I did not even Google what lupus was. I did not even want to scare myself. All I wanted to do was find out a way to fix it. So all I wanted to do was find out how I'm going to make this go away, how I'm going to feel better, what can I do? And at this point, this was last November, I was feeling really bad. I was in pain all the time. I was always tired. She put me on Plaquenil. I started taking that. And then at that point from that diagnosis, I drastically changed my diet for good. So at that point on, I eliminated all animal products, no oil, no salt, no sugar, no gluten, and no caffeine. So I went pretty intense, and I was very consistent. Whereas before, I would try it out here and there, and the weekends I'd have fun, and I wouldn't really pay attention to it. But now I was very consistent with it because I was really scared that this was the end of my life. I really thought this is it. There were a lot of horror stories out there. So when I started doing that, I didn't feel better right away. I did have less pain right away in my hand. So the joint pain in my fingers, the first week went down. So I had a lot less joint pain in my fingers by the first week. But it took about maybe 3 months or so of eating this way before I felt a lot better. I just felt, I felt like myself again. I had the energy again. I wasn't having pain anymore. I'm off the Plaquenil. I take no medication anymore. And I don't even remember I have lupus half the time. So people usually forget that I do. And I love this way of eating. I go out to eat all the time. I go to parties. I go to events. I go travel a lot. And wherever I go, I make sure that I order my own meal. And I ask for no oil in my veggie fajitas. And I want it grilled with no oil. And I'm just very open about how I eat and why I eat the way that I do. This is my lifestyle from here on. Mm-hmm. And I feel like I feel completely like myself again.
Mm-hmm. So that I can only imagine. I mean, that must have been a really terrifying experience to go through and getting that diagnosis. And so what do you know about lupus? I mean, it's an autoimmune disease. I know that there's a lot of people who have it, and there's no like fix for it out there, right? I mean, when your doctor gave you this diagnosis, what was the, like, what did she tell you when the diagnosis was eventually made?
She said that based on my symptoms and severity, that she thought it was not the most severe case. She thought as long as she gave me the Plaquenil, that I would be okay with that. And she did not think it would actually get to the point of I would have kidney failure. Because you hear a lot about kidney failure with people who have lupus, and it attacks your organs, every organ of your body it can attack. So lupus can be very disabling. I have friends that are in the hospital constantly with lupus symptoms, and it can kill you. It can attack your body and attack your organs. I have to go to follow-up visits with her on a yearly basis. I was going to the eye doctor every 6 months to check my eyes because of the Plaquenil side effects. Mm-hmm. But I no longer take the Plaquenil, so I don't have to worry about the side effects anymore. Mm-hmm. I did research it eventually when I started feeling better because I do need to know what lupus was. My family, of course, researched it. And then I bought all the books about people who did heal themselves with lupus. There were a couple plant-based authors out there and vegan doctor who wrote the book about lupus and healing from that. And I read those books and learned a lot about it just from reading about those experiences. But I wanted to approach it in a positive way. And yes, I'm going to learn what it is, but I'm going to learn how to fix it for myself, make myself better, heal myself is where I was coming from. So I wanted to find out how to heal myself from this disease. Mm-hmm. And that was that was where I was coming from. Mm-hmm. That was the goal.
So is that something that you talked to your doctor about, or was that something that you just said, okay, thanks for the diagnosis, I'm going to now kind of do this on my own? Or did you get support from your doctor?
No support from the doctor. So what I did, so when I went back for my second visit, I guess 3 months later, I went back for a follow-up visit, and I started feeling a little bit better. I told her I was, and I said, do you know, this is what I'm doing. Do you have any other suggestions as far as diet goes? Mm-hmm. And she gave me the blankest stare. Mm-hmm. And like, no, diet has nothing to do with any of this. I mean, she pretty much, a blanket statement, diet does not affect lupus. And she is one of the most renowned doctors, rheumatologists in the Houston area. She's very well recommended. She's one of the top doctors of Houston. And she's very busy and very full. It's hard to get an appointment with her. Very well, very highly recommended by all your doctors in this area. And she pretty much flat out said she knows nothing about diet and its effects on lupus. Just take the Plaquenil, you'll be good.
So not much help there. You're like, okay, I guess, next.
Not at all. And I kind of expected that from my research and what I was reading. So I kind of knew just from everything that I heard and read that the rheumatologists would not really support that. They would not agree with you, or they want to push medication. So I kind of expected that. I wasn't surprised. I just thought it was kind of amusing, her reaction. And I was actually thought it was funny that she reacted that way.
Well, good for you. I mean, there's a lot of people who would hear that and then be like, oh, okay, it has nothing to do with diet, then never mind. And just take that as the end all be all and not ever try that. So good for you for sticking to your guns.
A lot of people don't even know. They don't hear about it. So these poor patients are missing out on this information that's so important for them.
Well, right, because they would never think to ask. Right, exactly. And it's probably, and that's exactly why the doctors don't hear that a lot. And when they do, it's like that blanket stare, like you said, like not registering. Right. So have you gone back to this doctor since you got better?
No, I've not gone back yet. I think my yearly checkup will be, I guess, November I'm supposed to go back, so I haven't gone back yet. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure when I go back, she's not going to say it was because of diet. She'll say it's the Plaquenil, which I'm off now.
Right.
I don't know. I would like her to know that, but she's a doctor that spends 5 minutes with you, and she's in a hurry to leave the room. So it's not like she's open to discussion with you. So you wait 3 hours to see her, and then you're in there for 5 minutes, and it's just that was the end of it.
Well, it'll be interesting to see if she does say anything or what will happen with that. And, you know, what, either way, it doesn't matter because you're feeling better, and that's what's really, like, most important.
Yeah.
So can you talk a little bit about your symptoms, a little bit more about your symptoms and specific symptoms that you were having? You touched on it a little bit, but can you kind of go over some more of those before you knew what was going on or during that beginning time?
Sure. Well, the rheumatologist did say that I have a history 10 years ago of having severe debilitating migraines and having some really odd symptoms where I actually had a workup for MS and multiple sclerosis, and it was negative. I had a year and a half of my life where I was in pain and I was having severe migraines and nobody can figure out what it was. And the migraines were the most debilitating of all. And at that time, I actually healed my migraines with diet as well. So the medications the doctor was giving, the neurologist gave me, either made me gain weight, made me very tired, or they just did not work at all. So I did not want to take medications for the migraines, but they were pretty severe. I had to drop out of graduate school at that time. I could not even live my life. I thought I was going to be disabled forever at that point. And I bought a book called How to Heal Your Headaches by a doctor from Johns Hopkins. And he talked about diet and its role in migraines. And I drastically changed my diet at that point. And it wasn't vegan. It was more like I removed cheese. I removed, at that time, coffee and wine, all the nitrates. There was several food groups that I eliminated from my diet. And within 3 months, my migraines were gone. Mm-hmm. And they went away. So I don't even have, if I have one now, I can get rid. I know how to get rid of it. Like I don't have them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And I lost like 30 pounds. I still had baby weight for my daughter. So I lost about 30 pounds and I felt like myself, and I went on back to grad school, back to work. I lived a normal life for 10 years until this all happened. Mm-hmm. So the dermatologist thinks that I had lupus back then. Mm-hmm. It was not diagnosed. Just given my symptoms and everything I was feeling at that time, she thinks that I had it then, and it was just undiagnosed, and it was in remission. So the episodes of the seizures is what that started up, I guess, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, every year, and I've now gone the longest without having it since I started. Like I've been having it every year, like on the dot for 4 or 5 years, and I have not had it for, I guess, a year and a half now. I've not had it. So I'm thinking it's gone. It's not going to come back. I take no medication for that either. So that was really the first symptom that was odd. I did have some mouth sores in my mouth. The joint pain was really the worst of it. I had some skin itching. I never had any rashes on my skin. But I also had chest pains. So I had breathing pleurisy. So I had a lot of it. This happened also maybe every 6 months or so. I'd have severe chest pains when I would breathe in. And I went to the ER, I guess to a 24-hour clinic twice for that, and they could, there was nothing wrong. But that's a symptom of lupus also, it's a pleurisy. So I was having trouble with that. And it would last for half a day and it would be gone, but it was very severe, the breathing part. And really, it was my hands and my fingers and my wrists were just the worst. And then it was going into my toe. The very last, that was the last thing that it hit before I went on the medication. I went to the doctor, was my big toe. So it was kind of like spreading out into my joints. And those were the symptoms I was having.
So painful, right? I mean, just devastatingly painful, especially when you don't like know what's causing it. I mean,
it was a seizure medication. Like, if she had given me the seizure medication, so the timeline, I thought, oh, this kind of happened around the time I got the seizure medication. So, and there, and you look it up, and that was, there was nothing documented about side effects like this with that medication. So it didn't kind of go to, but I was assuming it must be that to make myself feel better. But then I would go off the medication, the symptoms would still be there. So it really wasn't that.
Right. Okay, so it was in, now give me the timeline again. So in, was it December? You changed everything and were really
November.
Diligent. November. Last November. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And it's July now. So and you said it took like a few months before you started, like you had less joint pain when you first started, but then it took a few months to really feel the effects.
Yes. Like my finger and the joint pain went away within a week. Within a week, I think the coffee was, stopping the coffee made a huge impact on my finger pain. But the rest of the pain, I still had pain here and there in my wrists on and off, but not as severe. But probably about 3 months, maybe February or so, February, March, I felt normal again. I was not having any symptoms at all.
Well, good for you for sticking with it during those 3 months. I mean, I imagine because you could feel a little bit better, it kind of gave you fuel to keep going and to keep trying, because I think that's one thing. I mean, everybody is different and it depends on what's going on in your body, because a lot of people will be like, I just started and it's been a week and I'm not feeling any different. And it, like, you know, depending on what's going on, it's going to take a little while. And
I was never going to give up. Like, there was nothing that would stop, because I knew the alternative, what it would be. And I had read enough success stories about this way of eating that I knew this was the only way that I was going to feel better. Even if it was just a little bit better, I was willing to eat this way the rest of my life, not to end up in the hospital, not to end up really sick. So to me, it was like, even if I didn't feel all the way better, I would still not stop eating this way.
Right.
I feel better overall anyway. I feel healthy. I feel better overall. So
yeah.
I this way of eating.
Yeah. So how was your diet before you started all of this, before you started with the migraine, kind of changing how you were eating, but when that was happening, like before all of it, how was your diet? How were you raised to eat, and what did your day-to-day look like?
I mean, when I had the migraines, I was probably about 25, 30 pounds overweight. I was eating just what everyone else eats. I mean, a standard American diet. I was eating meats, and I didn't even like meat that much, but I would still eat turkey here. I would eat turkey and chicken. I would eat eggs. I would eat oil. I would eat desserts. I love sweets. I mean, I just ate like anyone else would eat in America. And then this is 10 years ago. So when the migraines were diagnosed, and that was pretty bad, and these were, I mean, the migraines affected my whole right side of my body. I would go numb. Like, I could not feel the right side of my body. It was pretty scary stuff. And they thought I was having a stroke. I had every kind of test there was out there. I went to so many neurologists and endocrinologists and rheumatologists, and they ended up saying it was complicated migraines. So when I changed, about, I guess, a year and a half of that, when I read the book, is when I started eating healthier. So I didn't eliminate meats, but eliminated yeast. Yeast was a big one in the bread. I stopped eating cheese. Cheese and yeast were the biggest ones for me. So I ate a lot less of, and nuts were also one of them at the time. So I know, and red wine. Mm-hmm. So those were mostly what I cut out of my diet, lost the weight pretty quickly. And then a couple years ago is when I started watching the documentaries of Forks Over Knives and the Earthlings and all of, and I'm like, I just can't eat this way anymore. Like, I wanted to give up everything. I mean, I gave up meat completely, but I would still here and there have queso on the weekends or cheese, or I'd have junk food. I would eat a bag of Hot Flaming Cheetos was my addiction. I love Hot Flaming Cheetos.
That's a very common one. It's a very common addiction that people have. Specifically those hot ones too.
Yeah. But I figured they were baked, so it wasn't that bad. So I would have those, and I loved chocolate. I was a chocoholic, so I wasn't eating meat, but I was still eating chocolate and Flaming Hot Cheetos. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't eating it every day, but you know, every week or so I would have it. So it wasn't the greatest diet, but I still love vegetables. I ate a lot of fruits and vegetables. I still ate healthy on the days I wasn't eating those foods. Mm. So what's changed now is that I don't ever eat that again. Like, I don't even have chocolate anymore. I've not had a Flaming Hot Cheeto since probably October. I don't eat junk food ever. I'm not even tempted to. I don't even crave it anymore. And I won't even touch it.
Mm-hmm. And that's what I was going to ask, because I already knew the answer, but I wanted to hear you. Because there's people out there who are going to think, but wasn't it hard? Isn't it hard? Don't you miss that? Don't you crave it? Don't you want chocolate? And because I know this way of eating and you know it very well, and I see people go through this, the most interesting thing is you don't. Once you stop eating it, you don't.
You're right. It's amazing.
It goes away.
It's crazy.
It is. Yeah. I mean, that's exactly it. And that's why, you know, you don't need willpower. You don't.
No willpower necessary.
It takes care of itself. And it sounds so foreign and so strange to people who are in the thick of that, and who are in the thick of being addicted to those Cheetos or that chocolate, or even if it's vegan stuff that they just can't get enough of. People can't imagine not craving it, but that's really, really key. And you can see that is if you can stop craving it and stop wanting it, then not eating it is the easy part.
Right. It's not even hard to eat this way. It's not a struggle. It's not even a challenge. It's just, I wake up in the morning and I crave my foods. For breakfast, I had brown rice with pico de gallo and some spinach in there. And I wrapped it in a seaweed. And that was my breakfast. I mean, that to me, I love. And a papaya for dessert. So I was the biggest chocoholic in the world. I mean, my life was chocolate and coffee. Mm-hmm. So I don't even touch it. Don't even want it. And it's really not hard to do.
Yeah. Well, and especially because you're feeling so good. And this is coming from a place where you were so in so much pain. And so, you know, just physically feeling better. And I'm sure emotionally, because all of that, because a diagnosis like that, and because of that amount of pain you were in, affects you emotionally and mentally.
Yeah.
And that affects your day-to-day life, in such a real way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
People will say, well, don't you want to test it out and just see what happens? Like, no. Why would I want to test? I don't want to test anything. So there's no way I would test it. I know what I felt like before.
Yeah, you're done with that. You're done. You don't want to go back there. Why would you? And the other thing that people, and because I do a 5-week plant-based reset once a year, and when we get, done with the 5 weeks and people are off oil and sugar and all processed foods and everything else, and I say, just keep in mind that, you don't have to stick to this, but just keep in mind that once you go back to eating the sugar and the processed foods, it's so quick to get your brain in that mode to want them that it's not even worth it, because it's it takes a while to get those cravings, out of your system, but then they come back so fast. So you're right. It's not worth it.
No, it's not. It's not.
So, well, I am so happy for you and excited for you, and really just, I want to thank you for sharing your story and your experience, because I know that it will help somebody out there. It'll probably help more than one person out there, because I hear so often, you know, lupus is a pretty common thing. And I keep hearing more and more people who are diagnosed with it. Yes. And so for a lot of people, I know that they feel like just they're kind of hopeless and okay, they have to be on this medication and there's no real cure and they just have to, it's something that they just have to live with. And so, I mean, who knows? It's one of those things where, like with type 2 diabetes, it's not like people don't have type 2 diabetes anymore, but it's like they have no symptoms of that disease anymore.
Right.
Which
and
is, I'm sure,
the same. Symptom free.
Yeah, exactly. And so just, I guess to wrap up, what would, if you could talk to somebody who was in your shoes, like last year, what would you tell them?
If someone was in my shoes, I would say there's hope that you can have a normal life and still be yourself. And there's a way to heal yourself with your diet. And you will not need medication to do this. You may need medication at first to get you over the hump, but you can get off of medication and heal yourself with a plant-based diet only.
Yeah, so powerful. Let food be thy medicine. Again, it's such a powerful thing in so many aspects of our life. And you clearly are a living proof of that. And, you know, all of the studies, all of that stuff is really good and valuable and thorough, but I love talking to people who have actually gone through it. It's like, okay, this is, I felt like crap. I changed my diet. I don't anymore. Like, what more do you need?
Right. And just yesterday, my son was saying, why am I so tired? Why are you in general so tired when you eat a heavy meal? And I said, I'm never tired ever after I eat a heavy meal because I eat the right foods. It's like, no, mom, why is that? I go, no, it's not. It's because of your diet. It's not everybody. She thought everybody feels that way. I said, it's what you eat that makes you feel that way. You eat this way, you're not going to feel that way.
Exactly. Yeah, that's exactly it. And that's like another added bonus for a lot of people as well. You know, like, oh, I don't, because so many people think that after you eat, then it's nap time. After you eat, then it's time to get tired. And it's like, no, after you eat, you should feel good and energized because you just gave your body what it needs.
Right. I know. I never feel tired after I eat anymore. No matter how much I eat, I never feel tired anymore.
So. Yeah. Yeah. No, you're right. I don't either. And it's been so long for me that I even forget that that's a thing that people actually go through.
I mentioned it yesterday. I was like, yeah, that's right. I used to feel that way too. I forgot about that. I don't feel that way anymore.
Yeah, that's right. Thank you again. It was lovely to meet you.
Nice to meet you too.
Okay. Have a great weekend and enjoy your summer off.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye.
Bye.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoy this podcast, I would love it if you could rate and review it. That would mean a lot. And if you want to learn more about our whole food plant-based meal plans, head on over to our website, cleanfooddirtygirl.com, and check them out. You can also pick up a ton of plant-based recipes and resources and get inspired to celebrate human imperfection because none of us are perfect. None of us, promise. And isn't that a relief? Oh my gosh. Okay, have a beautiful week and I'll talk to you again soon. Dreamer.